We take 20 minutes at the beginning of each Sunday morning to walk through really the basics, the basic principles of how we become Gospel Grace Church. So we come and we meet and we sing and we listen to preaching. We talk to each other. We fellowship. We serve in the church. The question is, how do we become Gospel Grace Church? How do we grow in becoming Gospel Grace Church? So that's what our little Plenty in 20 series is about. Because the thought that we've reminded ourselves about each week is that we will only become Gospel Grace Church. We will only become Gospel Grace Church to the degree that each of us individually apply ourselves to the spiritual disciplines. God grows us, and then as He grows us individually, He grows us together as a body, and then we are able to represent Him in the world. And you know, it doesn't happen magically. It does happen supernaturally, but the Bible commands us to do certain things. And what we've been reminding ourselves about with each of these commands is that it's not that we somehow do these things and earn godliness from God. It is that we simply put ourselves in the path to receive grace from God. God commands these things. He says, if you will keep these commands, then I will show you grace. It's not a reward or a trophy. It's simply an opportunity for us to humble ourselves, submit to the path, the way, the means of godliness. So this morning, we're going to talk about, see at the top of your sheet, prayer. Prayer. We've talked so far about Bible reading, taking in the Bible through reading it, studying it, taking it apart for ourselves. Then last week, we really talked about meditation, spending time thinking on the Word, letting it soak into our souls, soak into our systems. This week, we're going to talk about prayer. Wonder what you consider your business. What would you say your business is? When you think about how you live your life, what you do, some people define themselves by what they do. So, what do? What's your business? Maybe you're a mom at home. Maybe you work with your hands. Maybe you study. Maybe you take time to do certain intricate things that nobody else can do. What defines you as your business? There's a quote that I want us to start with because it's so convicting. So convicting. We can do a lot of things, but there's something that we are above every job, every position, every opportunity, every other role, and that is that we are called by the name of Christ. We are His people. And for people that are His, their business must be prayer. Look at that quote on the screen. As is the business of tailors to make clothes and of cobblers to mend shoes, so it is the business of Christians to pray. I wonder, what is your business? What is your business? When you think through your day, when you plan out your schedule, your thoughts, what are they consumed with? They're consumed with, okay, I do this, so I have to get this thing done. What's the most important thing that you do during the day? Would you say it's spending time with the Lord? Your business must be prayer. And I will admit that this is one that I need more than anything. You know what I do? My business is getting things done. There's a book that was written by a guy named David Allen. It's called Getting Things Done. You know what? I love that book. There's a whole nerd following of GTD people. Getting Things Done, GTD. Card-carrying member, okay? You know what I like to do? I like to do. I don't like to pray. I need to pray. I think we all need to grow in this. We all need to grow in it. And the beauty of it is, we can. Like, it's not one of those ones that's way out there that you have to go to some amazing school to be able to get the knowledge to know how to do this. We just have to simply start doing it. We'll talk about that in just a second. So let's talk through your sheet and let's walk through some of these thoughts, because the incredible thought is that God speaks through His Word He speaks to us through his word. We talked about that, Bible intake. But the other side of God is that he has an ear that is turned towards us, longing to hear us speak to him. So he speaks to us. Yes, we receive through the word, but he has an ear that is turned, waiting, listening for his children. So the first thought I want us to look at is the fact that prayer is important because God expects you to pray. That one you probably already knew coming into the room, but God expects you to pray. Do you know it's commanded? Simple thought. Prayer is commanded. That's your first blank there. Prayer is commanded by God. Certain commands of Scripture tend to lose their impact on us because they get impersonal sometimes. Right? Sometimes we see prayer as a command from some far-off being hidden from us. We detach the person of God from his commands. And so we're left with these just kind of begrudging things. Let's look at these commands with optimism, with an informed thought about who God is, his character, his thoughts towards us. Let's look at these two commands. The verse references are listed on your sheet, but these are great. Devote yourselves to prayer. It is commanded that we would devote ourselves. Give earnest attention and energy to praying. See, when we see the commands of God as impersonal, we look at a command like that and it becomes, oh, devote myself to prayer. Remind yourself, this is God. This is our Creator, the one who loves us, who sustains us, who sent Jesus to die on the cross for us. That's the second verse. Pray without ceasing. Where the first verse pushes us towards really devoting ourselves to it, giving our heart to it, the second verse talks about how there ought to be an uninterrupted pattern to our prayer life. It's not saying that we should just like stay awake all the time. Okay, there's other commands of Scripture that it goes around. You should rest. You should Sabbath. You should stop and sleep. Some of us should probably stop right now and sleep. Okay, so. Anybody like that? How many of you right now? Probably you're running on just a little bit too little sleep right now. Anybody like that? Yeah. Okay. Yeah. But we should pray. It should be this uninterrupted, pray without ceasing command that we obey. The second thing I want you to remember is this, that it is invited. It is invited from God. So this impersonal command, all of a sudden, it could seem like a divine summons. Like we have to see some impersonal judge. We don't know his thoughts towards us. He's just going to look at us and he's going to judge whether or not we kept this command. But remind yourself of the optimism. We are invited to pray by our Creator. It's as if the opportunity is there. The door is cracked. There was a policy my dad had. He owned a business. And his policy was anytime his kids were around, we could always barge into his office and talk to him. The door was always open to his kids. So he owned a business. He was a construction guy. He would have clients in there. He would be talking through plans. He'd be talking about things and I could come. I tried not to abuse it, but I was 10. So, I always had the opportunity to run in there and talk to dad and I would get his attention, which was amazingly kind. I struggled with that. Okay. But my dad could turn his attention towards me. What do you need, John? It was great. The door was always open for me to talk to my dad. And you know what it was? It was an invitation. Let's turn over to Hebrews chapter 4. This verse is great because I want you to read it in terms of what I just said, that there's the invitation to come to God. He wants you to come. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16 says this, "Let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace." Why? So that we may receive something from God. He wants to give us something. Draw near to him. He wants to hear us ask for this. What does he want us to hear us ask for? That we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. You are invited to ask. Help is available. Go ask for help. It is expected and it is commanded. The next part about this is this. It reminds us that we need God. Prayer is expected because we are in great need of God. Do I need to remind you that that Jesus prayed? I mean, stop for just a second. Think about that thought. Jesus prayed. If the God of all the universe prayed, why don't we? I think it's because we don't know our need of God. I think it's because we forget how much we need Him. What are some reasons? Let me ask you real quick. Why don't we think we need to pray? You tell me. Let's throw out some reasons here why we don't think we need to pray. Why do you think we don't need to pray? Doesn't feel like it works. Yeah, okay. We've tried it. Doesn't work. Good. Why don't we think we need to pray? Joseph. Yeah, we like to. Yes. Okay, I've got this picture here. This is an amazing little picture, okay? You know what that thing is? That's a day planner. You know what happens in the day planner? I control my world, okay? Mine happens to be digital, but whatever yours is, you know what we like to do? We like to control our world. And when it's all lined up and when everything has a place and I've got my day planned out and I give 10 minutes to this and 30 minutes to this and 2 hours to this, then I'm good. How many of you are like that? I am like that, yeah. We don't think we need Him because we can control our day. Would you read this word from Jesus with fresh eyes? Apart from me, you can do what? Nothing. Doesn't matter how organized your day planner is. Doesn't matter how good of a GTD you are. Apart from me, you can do nothing. We are in great need of God. We ought to then pray because God expects us to. That I think you probably understood coming into the room. The second thought that we got to get is this. We pray because we have to learn. We have to learn how to pray, so we pray. So that first blank on your under this one is, we pray, we learn to pray by prayer. Which may sound redundant, but it's true. We learn to pray by praying. You know how you learn to pray? You just start praying. You could think of prayer like a foreign language. It's not something we're comfortable with, right? It's talking to someone we cannot see through the eyes of faith. It's that foreign language concept. How do you learn a foreign language? Somebody, how do you learn a foreign language? What's the best way to learn a foreign language? Yeah, you speak it, right? You don't just sit in books all day long. You actually have to converse. So how do you learn how to pray? You pray. In fact, Jesus even said this to His disciples. They came and said, Jesus, Lord, teach us to pray. And what did Jesus say? He said to them, well, when you pray, pray like this. Lord, teach us to pray. Well, here's how you learn how to pray. Pray. So you want to grow in prayer? Pray. How do you learn to pray? Begin exercising this foreign language with God. Begin talking to Him. The second way we learn to pray is by getting in the Bible, taking in the Word. Actually, meditation fuels prayer. So we talked last week about meditation. Meditation just rolls right into a prayer life. Ran out of time to talk through some of the tips of meditation last week, so I'll actually kind of hit these real quick because they will help us to learn how to pray better. Spending time soaking in the Word will fuel your prayer life. One way you can do that, these are just a few tips that you could write down. One way you could do that is to look at each word separately in the Bible and then pray through each word. So if you were to look at John 2:5 there, you would spend time looking on each word, pondering it, and praying it back to God. God, whatever He says to you, do. God, you long for us to do whatever you ask. Okay, great. All right, I understand that. You're in control with everything. Great. Whatever He says to you. So this is Jesus describing to His disciples to how to get things set up. I don't think that reference is right. But anyways, whatever He says to you, do it. Whatever He says to you. So you begin meditating on the Word, word by word, and it fuels prayer. Maybe you could write out a passage in your own words. So you take a psalm that you've been thinking over, and then all of a sudden you start writing it out as a prayer to the Lord in your own words. So you spend some time, you just take a psalm, you write it out, you begin to pray through it. It requires you to slow down and take time with the Word. See, as you begin to take time in the Word, it begins to affect how you speak back to the Lord. Pray because you have to learn The last way we learn to pray is by praying in community. Praying in community. You know, I have learned to pray by praying with Pastor Lucas. Pastor Lucas is saturated with Scripture, and it just comes out in his prayer. You know how you learn to pray? You learn how to pray by beginning to pray. You learn how to pray by taking in the Word and meditating on it. You learn how to pray in community. Pray with someone else. Listen to them pray. Hear how they address the Lord and allow that to then encourage you and affect you. We'll move through this next one quickly because we're running out of time. We pray because God listens and responds, and this is very simple, but we do not have because we do not ask. Just for a second, do you sometimes forget that God answers prayer? He answers prayer. God answers prayer. God answers prayer. God answers prayer. God answers prayer. Why did I say that so many times? Why did I need to say that so many times? We forget. We don't believe it. Because honestly, if we really believed that God answered prayer, what would happen? What would happen? We would pray. Oh, Gospel Grace Church, let's be a church that prays. And the only way that can happen is if God shows us His grace, takes our eyes off of ourselves, places them on the one who longs to answer our prayers. On the backside of your sheet is our mission statement and then a simple core value. That simple core value is just that we long to be a people of evident faith. So how will we be Gospel Grace Church, a church that exists to glorify God by making gospel-centered, grace-saturated disciples? We believe that we will live by evident faith. And the line at the last bit of that is this: we communicate and exercise this faith through our emphasis on corporate and individual prayer. So how will we be a people that is marked by evident faith? How will we be a people that are gospel-centered? We will pray. So this week, would you grow? Would you go to the Lord? And even the beginnings of this, prayer begins with dependence. To pray means that we are dependent, right? You could say it this way: prayer is the language of dependence. Would you begin to speak that language to your God? God, would you grow me in prayer? God, I want to grow in speaking to you. I want to grow in my dependence. I want to grow in taking my needs to you, believing that you will answer. Because we exist as a church to glorify God by making grace-saturated, gospel-centered disciples of Jesus Christ. And those disciples ought to evidence evident faith. How will we exercise that? We will exercise it by praying. Let's ask the Lord to change us in this. Heavenly Father, we do need you. We need you because we are self-dependent. And I pray that you would help us to rest in you. Lord, I pray that you would help us to come to you, to speak the language of dependence in prayer, and grow each of us so that when we come together, we will be Gospel Grace Church. It's your name I pray all these things. Amen.